You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Adam Schefter is going to join us here in a little bit to talk about Chris Mortensen. And I think I have my memory on this correctly, Stugatz, because I remember when Adam Schefter was coming up. The landscape at that time was owned by Chris Mortensen. And Chris Mortensen made a very wide berth, a very wide space to help Adam Schefter, to teach Adam Schefter, and I remember watching it on television where Schefter became bigger than Mort as an information insider guy with the blessing of Mort, because Chris Mortensen was always grateful for the position that he had and graceful about how he shared it with others. It's a notoriously insecure business. It's a notoriously competitive business, and we will talk to Adam Schefter about that. But Roy has put together a montage here to remember Chris Mortensen the way our show remembers him. I will say it again. Chris Mortensen, over a lifetime in journalism, has done big, incredible work.
Hello, Mort.
Hello, Stugatz.
How are you? I miss you, buddy. I miss you.
Same here.
Let's talk some football here. Stugatz has been lapsing in and out of withdrawal.
I have. I've missed him, and I'm jonesing for Mort, and I'm tapping my wrist right now. I'm finding a vein, and I'm injecting Chris Mortensen into my vein.
Yeah, I did want to acknowledge one thing. You never wavered on Brett Favre.
Thank you, Mort.
100%.
Thank you, Mort. And you tweeted it out for me to all your Twitter fans.
I know. I got to remember to remind people that for everybody who's taking credit for anything,
thank you, Mort.
Only one voice.
Thank you.
Only one voice in the wilderness said 100% and never blink. You're the Favre expert.
Anything you find illuminating or found illuminating or interesting or revelatory about Bill Parcells being introduced this week?
Well, he put me to sleep more than he normally does.
Chris Mortensen with us on 790. The first pick in Chris Mortensen's fantasy food draft is
buffalo wings.
Excellent choice. Second pick in Chris Mortensen's fantasy food draft is
guacamole.
Wow. The third, very high. You took a very, very high. That's a reach. The third pick in Chris Mortensen's fantasy food draft is
spring rolls.
He's singing it. He's really enjoying this. It's wacky more. You know, he's been changed ever since he fell down that flight of stairs.
Yeah, so I had knee surgery last Wednesday too. So
that is that was great, by the way. That commercial is great. You falling down a flight of stairs is really funny.
We had fun.
It was a stunt double, right?
No, come on.
The fourth pick in Chris Mortensen's fantasy food draft is
Taysom idea.
And the fifth pick in Chris Mortensen's fantasy food draft, is that a chicken quesadilla, your shrimp quesadilla, or just plain cheese quesadilla?
Cheese quesadilla. Plenty of pico de gallo and what have you, you know?
And the fifth one?
Potato skins.
Let's go to Bill. Bill, you're on with ESPN's Chris Mortensen. Go ahead. Hey, Bill.
Bill got so bored he dropped off.
You're about to break a big story, aren't you, Mort?
Actually, I'm getting one shut down.
You're getting one shot down, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stories you don't report.
You want to feel free to share any of this on the air with us, Mort. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, well, if it were true, I still couldn't.
Mike, can you play something to lighten this up, please? Do you have anything to lighten this up?
Mortensen.
I feel like we're interrogating Mortensen. Like, I mean, I don't think this is like a single swinging light bulb of interrogation. It's in a dingy room. Like, I'm about to hit his forehead on the table of a desk.
Mortensen.
Mort, we've been trying to get an answer on this. I'm still not certain we've arrived at any sort of answer. Are the Raiders for real?
Yes, they are for real.
Oh, whoa. Wow. Big day.
I mean, was that a question?
That's a good reaction from you. Mort, that's the right question. That is the right way to react to that asinine question. Gamera, put it on the poll. Who's more fundamentally decent?
Wow.
Chris Mortensen or Tim Kirkshin?
Not so certain. I don't know. I mean, Mort's on the line now, so I say Mort. But if Kirkshin was on the line, I'd say Kirkshin.
They're both beautiful people.
Let me say this. Here's one way you guys have captured me. I actually go and fill out those polls. I play your poll game. So if that was put up on the I'm voting for Kirkshin. I think when you go into a very deep, private, intense battle, personal battle, even though it's really within the confines of yourself, I would say myself, my God, my family. You realize that you're on the brink of. And my life is life ending here on Earth and beginning anew in eternity. That's my faith, as you know. But at the same time, when you're in it, you're really kind of in a fight for, I would say, it's 4 hours at a time a day. And even now, there are instances when that's true. But there were just some things physically that I needed to focus on. In handling this cancer disease that so many people in this country are doing, enduring, or succumb to, as I speak.
This is one of the most solid guys we've got around here in terms of journalism, in terms of character, in terms of being a person that people like and respect in this industry where a lot of times we don't like and respect the media. You're not going to hear a lot of folks say anything bad about Chris Mortensen. Put it on the poll, please, Juju at Lebatard Show. Spring rolls, underrated or overrated? Chris Mortensen, Stugatz, I had my own relationship with him. You had your own relationship with him. When I think of him, though, the relationship I think of was the one that he had with my father. He would always go out of his way to call my father. Few people found my father as funny and entertaining as Mort did, and he would call him all the time, even though I'm not totally sure if they ever met. Like, he would call my dad, and I don't think they actually met in person. They may have, but they had a friendship, and you had your own friendship with him.
He was a great man. I was thinking a lot about Mort after the news broke yesterday. The last time I saw him was at the Hall of Fame when Tony Boselli got in, and he gave me a gigantic hug, and I love that man. But Mort, over the 20 years, Dan, because I remember the first segment you did on this show. You kicked me out of the studio. Our owner was in the studio with you with a camera in your face. You were very breathy. But in between those breaths, you said, Stugatz and I have no idea what's going to happen in the NFL, but we'll bring on voices and they'll tell you what's going to happen in the NFL. And one of those voices for many, many years on a weekly basis was Chris Mortensen. Our audience loved him. But I remember thinking, because Mort was such a big deal back then, and the news breaking stuff became so popular with the audience back then because there was a newness to it, that having Mort on every week, he was one of the building blocks of this radio show. He gave us credibility. He lent us his credibility on a weekly basis because you were right. We have no idea what's going on in the NFL. But Mort did. And it made our show, a little local show in Miami,
feel really big and really credible, and I've always been thankful to Mort for that.
There are a couple of things about him, and again, I will tell you that in a little bit we'll talk to Adam Schefter, who had the most personal of relationships with him. But to hear in the outpouring and the grief that beyond credibility, which is something that a whole lot of media people are having a lot of trouble with, and beyond even being able to make all of these special relationships in the league where Peyton Manning and others trust you implicitly. We just talked about Caleb Williams and Draymond Green and contentious attitudes with the media. In some ways, Peter King retiring and Chris Mortensen passing away, these kinds of relationships go with them. Athletes are not going to have these kinds of relationships with future media members, but beyond the credibility and the relationships, what I will tell you is the sheer number of people echoing at every turn, decency and kindness, those two words, it's just not something that you find a whole lot in media members. That combination of things where has the relationships, has the credibility, and also is seen as somebody who is fundamentally kind and decent. Stephen A. Smith and an assortment of other famous people have a ton of relationships, but you just don't hear of many reporters ever in the history of this craft who leave such an indelible mark that people are perpetually talking about feeling his spirituality, that he was obviously somebody who was faith-based and tried to live his life in a way that just sent kindness everywhere. And I don't know about you. Obviously, I've been dealing with an assortment of pains related to grief. But last week, we're mourning the death of Richard Lewis. Like, it seems like mortality is creeping closer and closer around here when, you know, we're back-to-back weeks. We're feeling some of this stuff that makes it a little difficult to, you know, do your normal jovial bullshit stuff that we do around here.
I mean, these were guys that were both Richard Lewis and Chris Mortensen that were on with us. With Mort, it was different. There was a real friendship there. You had it, I had it. It was on air, it was off air. Richard Lewis was more on air. Alan Thicke, I met him once. Like, it was more on air. But these are people who meant a lot to us along the way. It meant a lot to our audience as well. I know our audience is feeling today the passing of Chris Mortensen. Mort did local events down here with us. Mort always made time for every single person who showed up to those events. He was just a wonderful, kind person.
Play the sound of Al Davis ripping Chris Mortensen going through the microfiche.
I'm looking for the full press conference. We have so many clips of just the word. I'm looking for the full one.
Okay, Al Davis, the former Raiders owner, when you ask him if the Raiders are for real, Mortensen's answer was, yes, they exist in Oakland. That's all he gave you. But he feuded. I don't even remember. What was the report? It was about Lane Kiffin. It was Al Davis was super mad that Lane Kiffin had done an assortment of things as the coach of the Raiders, and he went up in front of a gathered media with microfiche. Do the young people in the room even know what microfiche is? Do Jessica?
Very small fish. Microfiche.
That's it.
Yeah, right?
Isn't it microfilm?
Fish.
What is fish?
Fish.
I don't know. I called it, I don't know whether it's the brand. I called it when I was in high school. I called it microfiche. But this was Al Davis, who was just ripping Chris Mortensen. And everyone sided with Mortensen because Al Davis was a loon and because the way he said Mortensen was
Mortensen.
Funny.
Mortensen. Mortensen.
What is microfiche?
I already told you.
Small fish.
Small fish.
Have you wavered on Brett Favre yet?
I wish.
That is that is directed at you, Stugatz. Nice thing to say at the eulogy, Billy.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
As we've mentioned, it's a brutal day for people who cared about Chris Mortensen, and there were a lot of them. He passed away Sunday morning at the age of 72, a legend, a pioneer. And I think Adam Schefter will tell you, because I felt like I saw it happen on television, Adam Schefter was helped by Mort at every turn in a way that didn't seem threatening to Mort. And a lot of people in this business would have been threatened by Adam Schefter. But we'll get his words. Thank you, Adam, for making the time for us. Can you tell us about your relationship with Mort?
Yeah, I mean, it transitioned, Dan, and I appreciate you having me, and my condolences to Mort's wife, Mickey, and his son, Alex, who he loved very much and talked about all the time. But my relationship with Mort was such where when I was at NFL Network and when I was a Denver newspaper guy, I looked at Mort as a legend in the business, somebody that I aspired to be like. There was Will McDonough. There was Mort. They were the ultimate newsmen. And when my contract was coming up at NFL Network, I got a call yesterday from John Walsh, and he said, I want you to know how much Mort went to bat for you and was integral in bringing you to ESPN. I said, I've heard that, John. I know that people have brought that to my attention, that I'm not there without his support, without his recommendation, without his blessing. And he said, no, I'm telling you, like, he went to bat. You know, we got to get this done. And, you know, I always knew it, but it's another thing to hear it again on the day that we lose him. And, you know, he changed the trajectory of my life just as he changed the trajectory of so many other lives. You know, go ask Daniel Jeremiah what Mort did for him. Go ask Jeff Darlington what Mort did for him. Go ask so many people around ESPN. And he went from being a legendary newsman in my eyes, one of the greatest reporters in sports history, to becoming a friend, an advisor, somebody that I would lean on, learn from. He was the best. He was the best.
How uncommon is it in this competitive of a business, Adam, yeah, for all of what you said to be so? Because I found it deeply uncommon about him. The fact that everyone is talking about decency and kindness today.
That's the word, decency. That's the word. And, you know, yesterday after we lose him, I can't tell you the number of people that reached out that shared their experiences with Mort. And here's the thing about it. They were all incredibly thoughtful, like him. They were all remarkably decent, like him. And, you know, I get a text yesterday from Chris Ballard, who seemed all emotional, the Colts general manager, about how much Mort supported his son playing football this year. Like, nobody would have known that. And Chris was lamenting the fact that his son didn't get to meet Mort in person. Peyton Manning forwarded me 7-8 emails that Mort had sent him through the years, and you just read them. And they're incredible in their thoughtfulness and support and just how much he cared for Peyton and people, not just Peyton. I have those emails. You know, so, you know, it's hard. I, you know, we spoke this week And, you know, the irony is he actually sounded good to me this week. You know, there was a period during the season where he had pneumonia. We were worried about him. We were worried about him at that time. And he came back. We have this chain of coworkers, a text chain, and Mort's on it. And our boss, Seth Markman, has pointed out to us how much life that brought to Mort, how much enjoyment, just observations of the football world, the business, the world, whatever it would be. And, you know, when Mort went quiet for a couple of weeks in December, we got concerned. And then he was back to life, so much so that at 7:46 on Saturday night, he was texting with us. And then he's gone Sunday morning. So, you know, it's amazing because it was such a insidious disease that he was fighting, but he really had done pretty well with it. And we thought he was out of the danger zone. And then he went to sleep and just didn't wake up. So, you know, we'll see what the autopsy shows, but I just think he had been through so much physically, and even though he had been doing better inside, I think he was just he was beaten up.
Adam, Dan mentioned how uncommon Mort's ability to be able to help and to want to advance people's career is in our industry, and yeah. He is right. And so I'm wondering, were you surprised upon meeting him how willing he was to help you, to promote your career, to eventually make you what you are today, which is the number one NFL information guy in the industry?
You know, when I got hired there, again, with his support, with his full support, we went to dinner in New York City, Smith and Walensky, and it was the first time that I ever had the chance to sit down with him at length. I had met him before. We had talked before. But, you know, I hadn't had a chance to sit down and talk to him like that. And we talked about our families. We talked about our approach to the job. We talked about life. And he was such a regular guy. And the thing about him, and you guys knew him, he was somebody who in any room would be the single funniest guy in that room. And the guy who also would be the most credible guy in that room. You know, he was the only guy, you know, that could, in the war room on Sunday, go make fun of Boomer. And just mercifully, just go at him. And, you know, he had people laughing so many times. He had an unbelievable sense of humor that people, I don't know if they really know. You know, I mentioned in the obituary that we did on ESPN, you know, that Bill Tobin interview that he did with him, he set him up for that great soundbite of Mel Kiper Jr. He knew exactly what was going on. He knew where it was going to go. He kind of asked the question and sat back and got, to me, the greatest soundbite in NFL draft history with Bill Tobin saying, who the hell is Mel Kiper? You know, Mort had that little devilish side to him. He was a very, very funny guy, very funny guy. And he was instrumental in the lives of so many different people. Like, yeah, my story is my story. And there'd be 100 other stories of people that Mort helped. So that's just who he was.
You have some experience with grief. I don't know if, you know, this was 2016 that he powered through stage 4 throat cancer. So you've had 10 years of warning that this day might come, right? But there is no real warning, correct, for the thudding finality of what somebody feels on Sunday morning?
No. You know, we were sitting there at breakfast yesterday, or lunch. It was about 12:30. I got a call from my boss, and he told me, I was like, I was completely floored. Like, I was in shock, and my daughter started crying. And it was a very emotional moment at our family table. And like I said to you, he was doing better. He really was. Like, yeah, there were any number of times during the past 8 years or so that we thought he was in danger, that he was gravely ill. But I didn't think I was getting that call yesterday. Like, you know, I just didn't think that I was getting that call. And that's, you know, that's the sad part, aside from all that his family loses and his wife and son who were so dependent and loved him so much. But, you know, there wasn't a time to say goodbye, you know, sit with him and share things. Dan, you've talked about your brother eloquently, and you've had time to sit with him in his final weeks and days, right? And even though we had chances to tell Mort how much we loved him and appreciated him, you know, we didn't know the end was coming yesterday. That surprised everybody, including his own family. So, just very sudden. And, you know, there's no way that it's ever going to be nice, whether it's a long drawn out process or whether it's quick and sudden. But that's the way it went yesterday. And, you know,
you knew him, you knew him very, very closely. So I don't know if this is a dumb question to ask you. I have a hard time imagining him angry. I just have a hard time imagining it. Did you see him angry very often?
Yeah, not very often, but I've seen him angry, and I'm trying to think of exactly when it was. You know, I think he obviously mellowed over the years. He talked about, I think, having a temper, you know, when he was younger. And I said this to, who was I talking to? Yes, somebody. And, you know, it's amazing to me. When ESPN, when I got hired at ESPN, when Mort signed off on that, blessed it, recommended it, he at that time was 57 years old. And I'm 57 now. And so I understand at that point where he was and what he would have looked to have done and accomplished. And so that anger, that temper, I think it dissipated over time. And I'll just say this, like, there may have been a couple of things that I had seen temper wise, but when I was the guy who was wound up or stressed or just really tight over a story or something we had coming up, I mean, he was always the guy that could deflate some of that tension from me. And I don't think there's anybody that could do that other than him, only him. You know, he was the guy that could make you laugh at the most stressful moments, you know, like it was just him. You know, I wish we had the clip. I can remember when we were going through the Richie Incognito bully gate scenario. And that morning, you know, we came out of the report and Richie started coming at me on social media, and you know, Mort, you know, a little bigger than me, you know, gets on TV and he's like, you know, Richie Incognito said, bring it. You know, Mort gets on TV like a big brother. He's like, you want us to bring it, Richie? You come with me. And that was Mort stepping in as a big brother, to defend his little brother who was being picked on. You know, that was Mort.
What will you miss most about Mort, Adam?
Everything. Just who he was, the man he was, the decency he had, what he meant to his family, what he meant to his friends, the humor, the laughs, the memories, all of it. You know, I don't know how you sum up a life well lived like that, but you know, that was somebody, you know, like I said, we spoke this past week for 15, 20 minutes, Tuesday or Wednesday. I invited him. You know, there was a function going on on the East Coast. And I said, why don't you come stay at my house this June? And he said, you know, I can't even think about June right now. We'll talk about it when I get there. I said, okay, you got it, Mort, but I'd love for you to stay here. You know, I'd love for you to come spend the weekend and hang out. And I guess that was affirmation that he knew, that he wasn't counting on any time, even if he was, in my mind, doing better. So that's kind of where he's at. When you ask me what I'll remember about him, I'll remember how much I loved him and how much he meant to me and how much he meant to so many people.
How moved were you by the outpouring yesterday? Because it was nice to hear everyone have consensus of opinion on how it is they were touched by him. It turned it into truth for people who may not have known him to hear it from so many different places.
Yeah, well, this is not to diminish him. I mean, that's what happens when somebody, you know, passes a lot of times. But with him, all of it was real and all of it was true. You know, a lot of times when people go, people talk about what a great person. Okay, yeah, yeah. And many times it's right. But, you know, with him, it was all true. And then some. It was all true. That's how great he was.
Adam, thank you for making the time. We won't bother you with any of the mundane football questions you're used to getting this time of year. Heartbroken on your behalf and broken in general. Thank you for being on.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate having me and allowing us to celebrate Mort a little bit here.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Score major comfort with the new Hanes Originals Super Soft Styles. Imagine this. Fabric so soft, it feels like you're practically wearing nothing. Now that's next level softness. Whether you're storming the court, conquering the workday, or just chilling on the couch, Hanes Original Super Soft Styles have you covered, literally, in soft, cooling comfort. And let's not forget the style. These sleek designs and colors won't just keep you feeling great, they'll have you looking like a champion. So ditch the discomfort and upgrade your game with the new Hanes Original Super Soft Styles. They're soft, they're cooling, they're everything. Try Hanes' softest fabric ever at hanes.com/originals. Use discount code DANLB20.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Don Lebatard.
God doesn't even know what this list is.
He was ahead of Tom Brady, who also won a playoff game.
A couple, yeah.
That was literally the most confusing list we've ever done.
But Tebow's got a better shot of coming back.
Give him a chance. He's got more
lists. I'm mad. I'm angry.
I want to leave.
Stugatz.
This would have been your day. This should be. You should own the sports media landscape right now.
I am. Top seven guys. I would not want the Jets.
No. You.
No.
No, I'm not allowing it.
Give him Zach a chance, Wilson, guys.
No, I'm not giving him a chance. I'm giving him 20 years.
Carson, what?
I've given him my prime.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Jessica, I would like a numerical answer to this question. What number person was I this weekend to text you the video of Sam Hartman running in slow motion with flowing hair, giving off a little bit of Momoa, Jason Momoa, just regal and slow motion, sexy and tan. Did a lot of people send you this?
Honestly, Dan, people don't send me videos of Notre Dame stuff because everyone in my life knows that I've already seen them. And I think people get sick of me being like, haha, I've seen this. So, yeah, you might have been the only one, actually.
Okay, because everyone else just knew better. They knew that you had already seen Sam Hartman in slow motion, melting hearts all over the internet.
So that was slow motion, huh? I thought he was just slow.
He just thought that was the speed of a Notre Dame quarterback.
It was incredible, though. There was also another video, which I hopefully will get up here, of a NFL media person interviewing him. There was a lot of questions he got at the combine about his hair, and a lot of people just asking him, like, what's your hair routine? What do you put in your hair? All this, like,
that's our lane.
And it's like, I love that the combine now has embraced some of the silliness, but Sam Hartman must have had the strangest weekend of his entire life, just being thirsted after by all of the NFL media.
I wish, I'm sure Caleb Williams would have liked some more of those gentle hair-related questions as opposed to, are you afraid to compete?
First thing, he doesn't even sit down. Hey, are you scared?
And Sam Hartman sits down and they're like, you're hot! What? You!
There's not a gray in there, man. Looks great.
I mean, it's silky too. It's not just that it's black, it's resplendent. It's obvious the man is running with conditioner in his hair. Well, and always plays with conditioner in his hair.
Apparently there's nothing in there. It's just natural. He said it's good genes.
Do you think he ever considered tying the hair up?
Was rocking a man bun during some of his training in this earlier this winter. Yes, Chris. Man. Yeah.
Put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Le Batard Show. Do we have to test Sam Hartman's hair for steroids? There were a couple of things this weekend in football, Stugatz. A couple of, one rule change that was talked about that Billy is, I think, furious about. And another one that I am very happy to see. They are now testing. I did not know this until this weekend. They tested at the Super Bowl and in other places the ability to remove the chain gang as the way that they measure in that sport. They're talking about finding the technology. They've tested the technology. They have some optical things that work, but will not work for 2024. So we will still have the antiquated measuring system in a multi-billion dollar sport where they're fighting for real estate over inches. We're still going to measure it with chains this year, but soon that will be gone.
So it's so high tech, this new tech that they have is so high tech, it's not ready for next year, but we will still have Elon Musk trying to put chips inside of people's brains. We still have the chips inside the helmets and inside the shoulder pads, but we can't get the chip inside the ball just yet.
Not yet. You've got optical tracking and they're still testing it. And
I hate that.
It has to have a vote. They've got a vote on it too. There might be, look, man, these owners are old. They might cling to their chain measurements. They might vote down. Look, it would not surprise me if these owners are so stubborn about advancement that that'd they're like, no, we're going to vote it down. But it will not happen this year. I was kind of hoping that if we had this technology in tennis, we'd figure out how to have it in football.
We were talking about the show. When they go away, you're going to miss the chain gang.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to miss them walking out onto the field very slowly, the tension that comes with them doing the measurement. Mm-hmm. You're going to miss screaming in your living room, short!
I love short! Doing that. That's what Dad's right been. Before, like right when they get to the ball and they lift it up, and as they're extending it, I'm the first one in my living room. It's short.
No, you got to do this.
Oh, yeah, you show with your hands.
Put your hands up. Yeah. This is how short it is.
Mm-hmm. Or your fingers.
Microfiche. I think we keep the chain gang even after we go to technology.
Microfiche.
Just have them out there?
I think they're there just for show. Even after we have a chip in the ball, even after we don't need them anymore, I still want them jogging out there.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on the poll, please, Juju. Will you miss the chain gang in football at Le Batard Show?
It won't feel like football without the chain gang.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it won't.
What's even the argument against them?
Mm-hmm.
No, they don't actually, dude. They are so often so accurate. Like, we have to challenge, what, you challenge maybe one or two things a game?
Well, you only get one or two challenges.
No, I'm saying for both teams. Like, but no, you do, if you get it right, you get more than one challenge.
The chain gang is different. The chain gang does 10 yards at a time. They don't do anything.
I don't feel like we've had very many chain gang controversies. I have told you guys before, this sport seems hard to officiate. We argue and yell about a lot of different things. The placement of the football is not something we spend a lot of time arguing about. I'm surprised how often they get that one right.
That's not true. I feel like we always argue over bad spots. Or mm-hmm. like
yeah. There's a couple bad
fans
spots.
That feel like they get screwed over them, argue over them. Even if this technology exists, though, we're still going to argue about how much we hate the technology. Like, mm-hmm. this has torn apart soccer for years. The VAR and offsides, everything.
That's why I stopped watching.
Doesn't get easier. Like, to Jess's point, the VAR has not made it less. Like, people are getting so mad more than ever about soccer stuff. And there's plenty of VAR in there.
You think that we don't do that particularly well? I know officiating in general is something that we complain about every week, but I feel like the spotting of the ball, it seems to me that given how hard it is to know this is where the ball was when his knee landed over here, that we don't complain about it that much, given that there's human error going to be involved. I'm surprised they get that right as often as they do.
We don't really know if they're getting
exactly
it right.
Exactly right.
That's the thing.
And we all
game of inches, right?
We only show the replays, and you're always like,
You pay attention on consequential plays. There's lots of plays that you're not looking to see where the thing was. So much so that Jason Kelsey even admitted, and every lineman we've talked to since, it's always like, yeah, just move the ball 6-7 inches every play. No one noticed. No one was paying attention.
I'm just saying there's sports fans out there. I'm not one of them, but they exist, that can look back at every single loss that their team has had over the last 20 years and blame a spot for it. Not saying I'm one of them, but I don't know. Steelers might have 25 Super Bowls if it weren't for this technology not existing.
Jason Kelsey is retiring today, right? There's a press conference.
Well, he's holding a press conference, Dan. You can't hold a press conference to say you're coming back for another year.
That would be a jerk move.
You can't do that.
I hope it's related to his podcast. That'd be great.
I'm getting texts now from my mom. The Kelsey podcast is affecting my life. My mom sent me at 11 o'clock last night some clip from them. I guess they were crying or something together. And she's like, treat your brother better.
Oh, it's nonstop.
And it's just like, what?
Did you watch the clip she sent you?
No. What? I just saw that there was the headline said something with crying. But I'm just like, I treat my brother fine. Why am I getting punished because these two are bonding over a podcast?
The Kelsey brothers were weeping on their podcast about something?
There was
something?
Somewhere, it might have been an old clip of Jason when he was just talking about watching his brother celebrate. He got emotional and he was crying, so.
And it touched your mother's heart. Exactly. And then you shit all over that.
Well, no, it touched my mother's heart to be like, hey, be and it's like, I'm not even, me and my brother have a good relationship. I don't know where it came from. It's not like we're fighting right now. She was just like, nicer to your brother. I'm okay.
But I am nice to my brother. Right, I'm with you. That's annoying.
It's Kelsey's. Why are they affecting? Why is this happening? Why is my mom seeing the clip and why is my mom texting me, be nicer to your brother?
Where is she seeing it? Instagram reels or something?
Yeah, I think so. Facebook, probably.
My wife does the same thing with Jason Kelsey and his wife. She's always sending me clips, Jason and his wife, and what a great family they are, and what a great husband he is, and why can't you be more like Jason Kelsey?
Jason Kelsey's wife, was all she talks about how she doesn't want to be in the limelight, and then she was at some gala last week now. Right. Oh, geez.
Let me see the Hartman video here before I go to Billy, because, Billy, I want to get to you on the onside kick rules changing.
Stupid rule change.
But let's go real quick here. Sam Hartman walking us through his hair routine.
Can you walk us through your hair care routine?
I was born with it. It's called a wake up and go. It's this crazy thing where you just wake up, a water in hair, and you go, dead serious. There's nothing in here. Wake up and go. Shout out moms. You can feel it. I'm being dead serious. Yeah. There's nothing. There's no
product.
There's nothing in here. There's
no, that can't be.
I want to feel him. It so bad.
Yeah, I want to fight him.
Do you think his draft stock's going to go down for lying about his hair? I don't think he's lying, but Billy does.
Is he turning on the voice there? Hey, that voice is like, I know how good looking I am.
So he's going to be a
talk
bust,
deeper
right?
because of how good looking I am.
His voice did have a little bit of an Irish Springs commercial in it. It did. It did have.
That's
a
missed opportunity. Yeah. Well, Irish Springs.
He had other hair related NIL deals this past year. So maybe that was a conflict.
He's also got to be full of it, right? I mean, there's product in there. That is luscious hair. That can't just be wake up, water and go.
I believe him.
It seems impossible. It is so beautiful, and so I understand why Jessica believes him. He's a good good Catholic boy, good Notre Dame boy.
He's a Wake Forest.
Well, we'll see.
Maybe he's born with it. Maybe it's Maybeline. Who knows?
What is it about the onside kick rules that's bothering you?
They want to ruin it. Have you not seen what they want to do with the onside kick? First of all, for everybody that was complaining about the fact that the when the ball goes out of bounds on a touchdown that it becomes a touchback for the other team, they quickly moved past that. So it seems like that's not going to change next season. They looked at it and they said it only happened 4 times out of 40,000 plays. Move on to the next one. So it seems like next season that's still going to be there. So
wait, saying that shouldn't be a touchback?
No, they were saying that shouldn't. Yeah, they looked into whether or not that was too harsh of a punishment for the team to lose the ball and the other team to get the ball.
When someone's reaching out to the goal line and loses the ball right before the goal line, the reason the Ravens season ended, in other words.
That's right.
Okay.
But the touchback, it's not hard enough. It's not, harsh enough. They should punish they should take points off the board.
Wow.
You got to protect the ball, all right?
You know what? That's fair. It's not harsh enough. There has to be a bigger penalty. It's not, Zay Flowers doesn't just have an echoing offseason of shame where Baltimore's mad at him. It needs to be even worse than that.
Game over, you lose. There. Fixed.
Good rule.
Immediate ejection.
It's like the first drive of the game and someone fumbles into the end zone and they're like, all right, well, that's the game.
But what are the rule changes on onside kick?
Well,
they're just, they got to announce it?
Well, it's proposed. It hasn't passed yet, but they've been studying what to do with kickoffs and onside kicks. And what they want to do is you can only do an onside kick in the fourth quarter if you're trailing. And you have to tell the other team you're going to do an onside kick before you do
what?
It.
What?
That's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
It's absurd. I mean, you can't announce that you're doing it. It takes away from doing it, yeah. Right? The surprise factor is why you do it.
How many surprise onside kicks have there
Sean
been?
Sean Payton Super Bowl.
Boom.
So one.
McAfee.
McAfee
did
one.
All the time on his
two.
Open.
Yep,
on his open.
I think safety needs to be the primary.
Oh, enough.
Concern.
If you want to be
waiting
safe, don't play football.
You're playing football.
Stop football. Jesus. Exactly right. You want to be safe, play
enough
another sport.
Please.
Go play tennis. Right. Enough.
Enough
golf.
With the safety?
Yeah. Enough with the safety. It's gotten insane.
I put it on the poll, Juju. Enough with the safety. Safety, go play tennis, yes or no?
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.